Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
This is going to be airing Monday, December the 22nd, which means, hey, it's Christmas week.
Woohoo!
Be fun. This time, Linda and I have returned from our beautiful, fantastic trip to Bavaria, Germany for Christmas markets, and then swing back through Iceland to do some ministry up there with Heath and Rebecca, and back home, and we're here with our family, but
After Christmas, you're quickly out the door again, right?
Cancun, you know, so this is quite a month, and, you know, obviously, we're taping this before your decorating event.
Yes.
And maybe, because we'll tape the Christmas Eve one in a couple of several weeks, and maybe you'll have your tree up. So that'll be...
I'm hoping. My goal is by the time we tape Christmas Eve, there will actually be a tree behind me.
Yeah. And then we'll tape some in December. So we'll have our January stuff will include your
beautiful
tree.
We'll all have Christmas.
Yeah. That'll be fun. I love Christmas. But we've been talking about forgiveness, reconciliation, and the aspect of, in our discussion right now, it's about people that don't have a heart to reconcile. They're believers, particularly. It could be unbelievers, but believers. And we're in a scenario where, because of the dynamic of the relationship, family, business, church, small group, we just can't leave it. And the problem is, well, they're still hurting me. They're still controlling me. They're still manipulating me. The consequences are still there. What they've done haven't been addressed. And how do we do that? And God said, well, first of all, you stay in forgiveness because I've already forgiven them. So don't exit that place of thinking, well, I did it long enough.
Right.
Which means, by the way, you really didn't forgive them. You know, and so he said, no, I'll remind you, I want you to stay in freedom, and forgiveness is joining me in what I've done, which is giving them the opportunity to reconcile. And if they aren't, which is what we're talking about now, where God says, hey, at the moment, they're not gonna, well, we got to know what to do to resolve it for us. And last time we talked about, he said, well, I'm going to tell you Deuteronomy 10, this is what's required of you, is to trust me that I can get the resolution. It's a path. So let me give you instructions for that. Take the steps with me. Love me with all your heart, mind, and soul. Actually enjoy being with me while we're doing this. Serve me. Be willing to surrender your will to mine and follow me, and then follow what I say. Okay. So the attention is now shifted back to me. So in other words, since I can't do anything more with the other party.
Right.
Well, I still need to know, what do I do to, one, not be bothered by this anymore, and two, not allow them to keep doing what they're doing that continues to hurt me, that keeps me in this perpetual place of basically turmoil.
Right.
And it's both interesting enough, if we have this continually, and I hear this a lot with people with families, is, all right, I'm going to go be with them. And I can't not be with them. I dread going, which means I already am thinking, how awful is this going to be? And I get burdened by it way ahead of time before I even go. And then I go and it happens. And then afterwards, oh man, that was the same thing. And I can't believe it. I'm still in this place. You know. So in other words, he said, it's a perpetual impact on your soul. I got to release that. I got to free you up from that. And I will. And the attention is toward you. Okay. So let's go to Hebrews 12, 14 to 17. Remember, the attention is on me.
Right. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears.
Yeah. Well, this is an interesting passage. He says, now, I want you to stay in that place of shalom and holiness. Mm-hmm. Holiness is you're covered with my holiness, my righteousness. When you walk with me in the kingdom, you've surrendered your will to me. And my holiness covers you and you are holy. Mm-hmm. When you're walking away from me and you exit back to the flesh, you actually are severing your relationship. We'll see this in a second. You're severing your relationship with me and you've now become unrighteous again. Because mm-hmm. Righteousness is just me covering you.
Right.
And so it's about your walk. And are you seeking me? He said, so that you will continue to see me. He said that don't fail to obtain, receive the grace of God, which is favor. Mm-hmm. And in this case, interpret favor as I'm going to bring you resolution about this very difficult relationship.
Hmm.
So I have grace for you. I have solution for you. I have favor for you so that a root of bitterness doesn't spring up and cause you trouble and become defiled.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now think about that. He said a root, bitterness is there and it's growing.
Mm-hmm.
And it rises up and it's causing you trouble. Okay, mm-hmm. Now, first of all, where is that root of bitterness?
In your heart.
Yeah, see, it's in me. So the impact is now mine, see?
Mm-hmm.
And it's based upon the position of my heart. Have I allowed a root of bitterness? Mm-hmm. And think of the word bitterness is that it doesn't taste good.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of, I would say awful. I'm sure you've had that. I've had, you know, particularly with this whole, you know, gluten-free stuff. And, you know, and so, you know, people that, you know, get active in, you know, I can't have anything gluten. I was in a restaurant that was shocking to me. And we wanted a waffle. And they said, we only serve gluten-free waffles.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, they don't taste good. I said, so why don't you have gluten waffles that are normal and taste good? Well, because we can't contaminate the waffle iron with gluten because gluten-free people can't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, well, why don't you buy another waffle iron? you know, how much is it? I'll buy one for you, you know, because I would like gluten-free waffles. They're like, mm-hmm. no, we can't, you know, we can't do that. I said, well, so this thing that's bitter, that tastes awful to me, and what I say, it tastes like cardboard, you know, and I know people who are gluten-free, you know, and that's fine. And they learn to taste it and all that. But I just say, no, Jesus, it's not pleasant for me. But you know the difference between bitter and not bitter. What you would call bitter and sweet. Mm-hmm. So he said, if you let root of bitterness, things that aren't healthy for you spring up in you,
mm-hmm.
it's going to get more and more difficult for you to enjoy life.
Right.
So the impact isn't on the other person, by the way, who doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
It's about me and I've got bitterness toward what they're doing.
Right.
Why? Because you let it spring up in you and you've basically didn't obtain the grace that I give you. And he basically says, why? It's kind of interesting. He said, no, that's the situation with Esau and Jacob.
Mm.
Well, what happened? Well, remember Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. Okay. His birthright was the ability to receive the covenant. He said, that doesn't matter. I don't care about it. It doesn't have any value to me. So sure, I'll sell it. So what? I want to be gratified now. Mm-hmm. He said, oh, that's what's happening with this person that is hurting you is they're selling their birthright.
Mm.
They've rejected the opportunity to receive the covenant. And they think it has no value. So I don't care. I'm going to come against you. He said, now what I want you to do, and this is interesting, he's using it relationship to you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you step into that same place. And you don't care either. So you let bitterness build up. And now you're at odds with that person in your mm-hmm. soul. You've tolerated it because you can't do anything about it. And they keep hurting you and having impact on you. But you're selling your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're letting bitterness take over that relationship, which is you dread going, you dread being around them, they keep hurting you, you dread the fact that they hurt you again, and you live in that constant set of pain.
Mm-hmm.
He said, now don't let that happen. And I got to deal, in other words, I got to deal with your bitterness.
Right.
And don't let it spring up. I got to get it cleaned off.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't, you know, you might have a little seed of it, but I will delete it so that it doesn't spring up.
Right.
Okay, now, and then go to Galatians 5, 1 to 4. Sure. And he says, here's what is going to happen if you don't respond to my leading. Galatians 5, 1 to 4.
Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man whom becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace.
Yeah, and go ahead and keep going. Do 5 and 6 too.
Okay. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love.
Okay, so he says, now remember, he's talking to you. He's saying, if you set up your own rule, and in this case, you know, Paul's talking about circumcision, is that there's Jews, they're believing Jews, and they said, yeah, you have to receive Christ and you have to be circumcised.
Mm-hmm.
Physically, in order to be saved. And Paul says, no, it's faith only.
Mm-hmm.
It's not faith plus work, any work. It's not faith work plus work, it's faith. He said, now, I understand your thinking. Circumcision was a sign of the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And so a Messianic Jew, a Jew that comes to know Christ today, actually has a little bit of a stronger understanding of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that, yes, I get to go be with him in eternity. I also step up into the covenant right now with the fact that he'll deliver to me the superabundant life that he promises. I can receive the blessing to be a blessing today.
Mm-hmm.
And it, therefore, if that's true, which Paul says is true,
right.
And he talks about this in Colossians, but it's not a circumcision of a work. It's a heart issue.
Mm-hmm.
You're marked by Christ to step into the covenant. He said, yeah, that's all true. But if you make a rule, he said, then you're obligated to what? Keep the whole law.
Right.
You've just fallen away from the truth of the gospel of you're saved, and you're going back to basically your position of being required to be perfect. Why? Because you set up your own rule.
And
if you set up your own rule, and I'm going to follow that rule, and by the way, I want other people to follow that rule, then you've actually now, okay, well, then they're required to keep the whole law, which you can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two consequences. You've severed the relationship.
Right.
We talked about that before. You put to death the power of the Spirit. He says, my relationship with you is severed because you walked away from me setting up your own rule. I'm going to.
Mm-hmm.
You've fallen from grace, my opportunity to deliver to you the beautiful solution that I've got. So instead of in this situation where somebody's continually hurt you, you've set up how you're going to do it, and you maintain a root of bitterness in there. Mm-hmm. Is that I'm going to do these things that are trying to protect myself, and I'm going to, even your own rule could be of how you're going to live with this pain. See,
right?
And God says, well, you're losing your freedom.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it's not about that. He said, it's about walking with me in faith, working through love. And remember, love is following what God has to say.
Right.
And I'll show you what to do toward this other party. Because he said the one element that is going to indicate love is that you can handle this relationship with honor and respect,
mm-hmm.
knowing that there's things you're going to have to do to not debate, fight them, and argue with them, or keep in a perpetual state of pain and consternation and fretting. But I can be around them, treat them with honor and respect, and I'm protecting the fact that no longer are they going to allow them to let me hurt me, and I'm not going to develop a position of bitterness about it. And God mm-hmm. said, I can get you there. But you're going to have to walk with me. Don't
right.
set up your own solution. It's important that you follow me, and I'll give you the answers to this situation so that despite what this other person is doing, which, by the way, remember, they're not going to change at the moment, and they're
yeah.
going to keep hurting you. I'm going to show you how to get to freedom in the middle of all.
Yeah. It's interesting as you bring this up, it highlights to me again kind of the difference between boundaries that that God has taken the lead on and sets up, and conditions that we often put in place that, you know, we will love somebody, we will be with somebody if they.
Yeah.
Boundaries and conditions are two different things.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
boundaries set by God walk us into, embrace us into a place for healing and a place where we can actually walk in and engage and still love in truth and grace and stay in peace. When we put things on a conditional basis based on what we desire or how we think they need to respond, we actually aren't reflecting his heart whatsoever, because his forgiveness of us was not conditional.
Okay, so take that a little bit further. My solution is something that God's going to reveal to me without placing a condition on somebody else. And what that means is I don't even think that way. If they will, then I will. If they will, no. God says, look, they're not gonna. So this is just between you and me now.
Right.
And think about where we've come to is forgiveness is between you and me, God speaking.
Yes, it's completely vertical.
My will, perfect will, 100%, is for you and that other party to sit down with honor and respect and process through the truth until that other party says, I see what I've done. I'm so sorry for what I've done. And how can we move forward in a way that doesn't have this happen anymore that you feel good about? And I feel good about it. That would be ideal. And now that's between two people.
Right.
Free will. Okay. We've gone there. We've tried that. And we'll talk more about that. And they said no. They're not willing to, or they're not capable of doing it. Or even if you did it, it would probably set it all backwards anyway. So the answer is that's not going to happen. And they're not going to change. He said, now for the final piece of this resolution, it's back to you and me. There's nothing you can say or do about the other person other than know, okay, what do they do and how do they do it and when do they do it? That I've got to show you how to handle that so that it doesn't impact you anymore.
Right. And in fact, he can even show you something in your heart that needs to be healed so that it's not triggered by whatever that is.
That's right. And the solution isn't a condition that you place on them, because there is no condition that they're going to meet. Why? They don't care about it.
Right.
And it doesn't matter what you say as a condition. Why bother, since they aren't going to respond anyway? So now it's back to you and me.
Right.
And don't put up your own rule. Don't solve it yourself. Don't let a root of bitterness develop. I've got to show you now what to do with this as we go down the road. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for that beautiful thing that, as Kathy said, we have to understand the solution is not conditional, because they're not going to meet it. Now it's my walk with you to give us answers about what do we do next so that they stop impacting me and I can live in freedom, knowing I still got to be around them and they're going to still try to hurt me and harm me. And so give us that wisdom of what that looks like so that we can have the joy of what that looks like going forward. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Rich. And thank you, listeners, for joining us. If you have questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. See you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.